These readings come from Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and asserted from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I may too come and worship him." And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And after being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Well, I guess many of us will have been making plans as much as possible to make the best possible Christmas that we could make of it this year. I guess for many of us, turkeys will have been ordered, or nut roast, or whatever it is you're into at Christmas time, but it's all prepared. Bedrooms would have been cleaned for family coming. Presents would have been bought and wrapped and placed under the tree, ready for the big day on Friday. But then we had an announcement yesterday, didn't we? At around 4 o'clock, our Prime Minister made that sort of unexpected but yet expected announcement that 5 days of relief from restrictions that were planned for Christmas, where family could travel to parents' and grandparents' houses, has now been reduced to just one day, Christmas Day itself. For those living in London, for those in the southeast, are now in Tier 4, and their 5 days of relief have been reduced to no days of relief. It seems that after a year of challenges, a year of disappointment, even Christmas isn't going to be as we had hoped it would be. I suppose at heart, really, we want a Hollywood movie sort of Christmas. The kind of Christmas where all the family are together around the big mahogany table and all of us are sat healthy and happy. Snow is gently falling outside, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose. That sort of Nat King Cole sort of Christmas. For Christmas was meant to be this year a relief from restrictions, a relief from isolation that many of us had been so much looking forward to. Looking forward to seeing family and friends again. Looking forward to relaxing again just for a little while. But now the uncertainty continues for longer. Now the underlying fear and worry that many have continues through into 2021. For what we had hoped for this Christmas is not going to happen. And that's exactly how it was the very first Christmas. Exactly how it was. On the front of so many Christmas cards, the scene is given, even where he sang those carols and showed you that lovely sky and this camel, was it, going across the dunes, and it looked wonderful, didn't it? It looked beautiful. So many Christmas cards give that scene of a peaceful, stressless sort of scene. But we've heard, haven't we, this morning from those passages of Scripture, how stressful, how disruptive that first Christmas was. We've heard how Joseph and Mary had to make a journey of around 90 miles from Nazareth in the north of Israel down to Bethlehem. That would have been a difficult journey itself, a difficult terrain where people were under threat of being attacked. Apparently flash flooding would have happened. But Mary is pregnant. Mary is 9 months pregnant, walking possibly having a donkey to ride on. We don't know for sure. But having left behind the social stigma from her family, from her friends, from her community, this stigma of a young woman pregnant outside of marriage, they now have to travel all of this distance to this place, Bethlehem, this little place. And even when they get there, there's no room for them. The stress is building higher and higher. And then her water breaks, just to make it even better. Her water breaks. She goes into labor. And all they can find in this little town is a stable for Mary to go through the experience of giving birth for the first time. She gives birth in a stable. And all they can find to lay her child in is an animal feeding trough. And then it goes peaceful, doesn't it? No, because next they find out that this child's life is threatened by their king. King Herod wants to get rid of this child. And so this little family is forced to become migrants, leaving Bethlehem, traveling then into Egypt and living there for a while. What a stressful time. What a disappointing Christmas. What a thoroughly imperfect first Christmas. And yet actually, it was perfect. It was perfect. The census that put the whole country of Israel through probably weeks of massive disruption. Did you see the scenes of St. Pancras Station? People desperately trying to get out of London to get out before midnight. This census that put the whole of Israel through getting onto trains or whatever it was back then they got onto, but trying to get back to their home birth, their place of their birth, to be registered for the census. All of that happened to make sure that Joseph and Mary would be in Bethlehem. That was the place, you see, where God had said many, many years beforehand through Micah that the Christ, the Savior, would be born. And so out of that disappointment, out of that stress comes Jesus. Out of all that disruption and imperfection, seemingly, the gift is given to us. I don't know if you've got all your presents wrapped or not. I don't know, but we would normally wrap our presents and gifts with brightly colored paper. And if we can be bothered, we'll put a ribbon around it as well, won't we? But Christ, the Savior, this gift of God, came to us wrapped up in disruption, wrapped up in stress, wrapped up in what seemed to us as imperfection. And yet, it's perfect. Yet to all who will receive him, to those who will take the bother of unwrapping this gift of God, we find in Jesus all the hope and the peace that we need for all of life's circumstances. We find in this gift from God the promise of forgiveness, the promise of being right with God, having peace with God, and having the real and certain hope of eternal life. All of this is wrapped up in this one person, Jesus Christ. So Christ's birth was in a time of disruption, a time of difficulty, and yet out of that, we have been blessed. But then even more so, Christ's death was also in a time of difficulty and stress. We think about all that Christ went through, all the rejection, the mockery, the awful suffering he went through. And of course then, him being isolated there on the cross. Jesus went through all of that, and yet again, all of it happened as the prophet said it would. That the Son of God must suffer and die. He must go through all of that for the sins of his people. That was his mission. That was his purpose, that he came into this world to save sinners. Someone on the news, he was a politician, said, Easter can be the new Christmas. Did you hear that? And what he was saying was, you know, our celebrations that we were hoping to have at Christmas time, we can put them off. We can postpone them for just 3 months or so till Easter. And in a way, you know, my ears were ringing. There was something prophetic in what he said there, because in a way, Christmas and Easter have always gone together. We today look back at Christmas through the lens of Easter. We see through Easter how and why that child was born. He was born for Easter. Christ came at Christmas for the purpose of Easter, that he would die on the cross and then rise from the grave, so that all of us here this morning and all of us out there, but all who take this gift of God and unwrap him and trust in him, we find forgiveness. We find hope in this life of trouble. We find peace with God, peace through the difficulties we face in this life. And we know for certain that one day we shall be with him forever. I hope you're able to take the gift of God this Christmas. I hope you take him by faith, open him, believe on him, and benefit from this gift of God he gives to us today. We're going to close singing a hymn which reminds us again of that scene on Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. But the third verse tells us how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. Let's stand and give thanks again for this great gift of God to us in Jesus, his Son. Thank you. Oh God, we thank you again then for your indescribable gift to us of your Son, Jesus Christ. Will you bless then his name to each of our lives, to our families, to our homes this Christmas season. Lord, draw us closer and closer to him, that we may know his presence with us in these uncertain times. We thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Can I thank you all again for coming? It's been great to be with you and to see you. Can I remind you, though, we are trying to keep the hall COVID secure. So if you'd like to have conversations, please, can you have them outside on the lawn? It's not raining, but it's the safest place out there. Please. Thank you.